morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand spanking new, so brand new it's cleaner and softer than Denny's ass.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Nothing. That's what.
Yet not quite as clean as Loy Sauce's, well, I can't say it on the air. That's not fair
I don't
say
think
that.
Anything is quite as that. Clean as that.
No.
Loy Sauce.
Absent once again.
He claims that he's going to see Rampage and he'll be providing us with a review by tomorrow. We'll see if that actually happens. He said that about Soderbergh's Unsane. That never happened. We'll see if Rampage actually comes through.
You know,
I didn't see
do,
it. You didn't see it.
Invite him over to the house. Invite him over to your house. Let him sit down in the chair in front of your computer and then just duct tape his ass there, hog tie him, and he can't get up or leave until he does a review.
Well, to be fair, he did have something really important to do today, Nick. He had to put a lot of effort into getting Deadpool 2 tickets on sale, and I guess they're now available for purchase at Alamo Drafthouse,
nice.
And I assume that means Fandango for all theaters. So all of you out there listening, by the time you hear this, it'll be Thursday. Get your tickets to Deadpool 2. It's going to be huge. And I keep forgetting that that's coming up as well. Deadpool 2.
Avengers Infinity War mode tonight on the stream. We are going to be recording Phase 2, another mini-sode for Phase 2. Expect a whole lot of the Nick's Rants music and a whole lot of, I don't know, just fart noises and whatever. I don't know. We could just do... There we go.
Like I said earlier in the patron-only segment, I'm like, can we just do our shortest episode ever where it's like 5 seconds, maybe less than that, and just be like, they all suck. It's over. It's done. But no, we're not going to do that to you guys. We know that you out
How
there that take
you.
The time to oh. listen to us, they want to listen to us talk about all the movies, even the shitty ones, especially the shitty ones, because we have the most fun, I think, with the shitty ones in the end anyway.
Oh,
so.
We're going to have some fun tonight then, because, man... Is Marvel Phase 2 a fucking dumpster fire, with exception
yeah.
of one very, bit, yeah. very, very huge exception in Captain
very,
America,
very
the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Epic Film Frog, the first lily pad of meant something. No?
I knew you'd say that.
Judge Dredd, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of Judge Dredd. Man, are you just like
sly?
I feel like you're just
yeah.
Stallone's stalker now. Now you're just showing up in the background of random photos he's in. Like,
yeah. So I got a text this morning, dude, from a buddy of mine. He was like, "Dude, you're on Getty Images." I was like, "What?" And then he sent me the photo, and it's like it's crystal clear. It's like, but it's me looking at my fucking phone. But it's still, there's a picture, an official, actual picture of me behind Sylvester Stallone as he's smiling and. It's awesome. It's pretty awesome. I don't give a shit. I mean, I wish I had known the picture was being taken because I would have turned around and gone like this
now, see,
and smiled.
We need to have a discussion,
you and
me. We need to have a discussion about
okay.
branding.
Okay.
If you're going to be randomly just showing up in photographs behind movie stars, we're going to need to start like painting the Epic Film Guys logo on you and shit.
Dude.
Like.
Dude, I meant to take a picture. There is an Epic Film Guys sticker right next to the Rocky statue in Philadelphia at the Museum of Art. However, I'm pretty sure they probably removed it already. But I didn't get a chance to get a picture of that because I slapped it on really, really quickly. So we're there. We're there at Spear. And I did actually plaster a bunch of stickers in downtown Washington, D.C. over the weekend when I was there. So, but yeah, I mean,
did you give some
for
to
me,
Trump?
Man, I don't... I never go over near the White House.
I feel like Trump
I haven't been over near
the
White House since he's been in office, dude. The last time I went even remotely close to the White House is when Obama was still in office, and I never go anywhere near there at all. Never. And I don't think anyone else does either, because you walk past it or you drive past it, there's like, there's no one over there getting pictures in front of it. There's like no one over there. No one gives a shit. They don't. Just saying. No one goes over there anymore. It used to be, I remember when I went over there, I first moved here and Obama was still in office. People were just packed, dude. People were just like sitting, eating lunch on the lawn out in front of it. And like, they would just go over there and chill. And not now. There's like no traffic over there at
all.
You
know what I need? You know what we need, Justin? We need a soundbite of Donald Trump or the best Trump impersonator we can find to drop one of these bad boys on us.
I sucked a dick last night.
That's what we need. We need that. Can we have that?
But he doesn't really, I don't think of him as the one that would be doing that. I feel like he'd be the one that getting it in the behind. I feel like he'd be the one that's getting it. Like he's the submissive one.
Well, Justin, I'm sorry,
like,
but I don't have an I'm getting cornholed right now sound effect.
God damn.
Wait. There we go. Does that work?
Good enough. I love it. I love it. But what, dude, what the hell? What have you been up to? What did you do over the weekend? Anything at all? Did you do anything?
Man, I've just been busting my ass trying to prepare things, get things ready for the live stream for The Cure 2.0. Lots and lots of stuff to talk about with the live stream for The Cure 2.0. I think maybe we'll bury it a little bit later in the show. We've been leading off every show with live stream for The Cure news. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do just humor me here. We're going to go ahead and dump one of those live stream for The Cure promos at you right now. I'm Nick.
And I'm Justin. We are the Epic Film Guys, and we'd like just a moment of your time to talk about an extremely important event coming up this May.
Last year, we hosted the Live Stream for The Cure, a 12-hour live stream fundraiser where we raised $2,500 for the Cancer Research Institute.
86 cents out of every dollar raised goes to research toward finding a cure.
And this year, we're aiming to smash that goal, and we need your help to do it.
Join us from May 18th through the 20th for 30 hours of amazing live stream content from us and a whole host of amazing podcasters who will be joining us to try to reach $5,000.
For more information, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference. And, you know, we'll talk about some stuff that's going to be happening with the live stream for The Cure a little bit later. There's not anything really new happening with it. It's basically just beating those drums, getting the word out there about this event. As I announced last week on the show, remember, if you are going to be taking part in the show as part of a featured programming block, we're running a contest, Justin. Whoever raises the most money in a half an hour block, whatever show during their featured programming block, they have a chance to win a $50 Epic Film Guys prize pack. It's going to be absolutely amazing. That was the weirdest look you've ever given. It was weird. Is Danielle in the kitchen making a sandwich?
She just walked in the door. She just texted me while I'm on the air and said, "The door is locked. You must come unlock the door." And I text her and say, "What door are you referring to?" And then she just walks in the door. So I have no idea. So as you can see, she's here behind me. We have this crazy beast here.
Go, go.
Who's on the live stream. Goji the Frenchie, the epic film dog herself.
Go,
who
go.
Wants to get boozed up. And
can you just put the headset on Goji and just get away? Just leave Goji there.
Say hello, Gojo.
She's just like, "All right, I'm done. I've had enough of this.
Get out of here, mutt. Get out of here. Get out of here. Mommy's home. That's all she cares about."
That's very true.
Damn kids and dogs and rats and kids and women and everything else. God damn it. I just want to drink beer and talk movies.
Drink beer and talk movies. One last thing, Justin, for the live stream for The Cure. We'll talk about it a little bit more later on in the show, but I want to give a huge, huge shout out right here at the top of the show to the Afterburn 739 crew, Leo, Cobra, Midgey, Fez, and Kitty. They are actually also doing a merchandise drive to sell as much merchandise as they can, and they are donating all of the profits from selling Afterburn merchandise to the live stream for The Cure, and that's absolutely amazing. So thank you very much, Leo, and the whole gang there in Skrishbar. You guys are absolutely amazing, and a lot of the way that this event has brought so many shows together to try to do some good and to try to raise $5,000 for cancer research is amazing. So thank you guys very, very much. But in terms of my weekend, Justin, no, I didn't do a goddamn thing. I worked overtime Saturday, and I worked overtime Sunday. And then I got home Sunday. Restaurant Season 3 premiered this week with Grilled Cheese Week. I made some bum-ass grilled cheese sandwiches. So check that out if you love
someday food. When you get your ass down here, you'll come down to Space Bar, one of my favorite places. And it's all grilled cheese and craft beer, and it's craft beer from all over the place. It's literally, I was sending you a picture of my first week living here, and it's still one of my favorite places. The best grilled cheese I've ever had.
I made homemade bread for the first time ever on the show.
What? Homemade bread?
Homemade bread with, I did some oat flour and some almond flour as part of the, as the incorporation. Oh man, it turned out really, really good. But then I got a call out last night at like 5 o'clock. I get a call because they were anticipating some windstorms and stuff like that. And I went into work last night and I worked an overnight call out. So I was working for about 13 hours and it was really, really amazing. It's going to put me so far ahead financially. Like I'm going to be able to do a lot of really good things. It's just really, really amazing. It's coming at like the most perfect time for me. So I'm super, super grateful for it. And that's pretty much all I did. I woke up earlier this afternoon. I spent some time getting that Shutter Island spotlight available for our patrons and that special blooper-sode, which is a clip from that mini-sode where Dan and I are just trying to use Random Picker, which I don't use anymore. Thank God. That's how old some of these spotlights that I have recorded
are. You hated that thing anyway. You never liked it. You complained about it all the time.
Oh, I hated it. It was absolutely terrible. So, no, I didn't do I have not done a damn thing. Isle of Dogs is playing up here. You actually messaged me this because somebody else told you this. The Isle of Dogs is playing up here, and I have no fucking time to go see it now. Legitimately no time, so I'm hoping it'll hang out for another week so I can get a chance to see it.
I hope so, for your sake. I loved it, as our listeners know from listening to the show when I did my mini review. But while you were doing all that, Nick, last Friday was, that's right, Friday the 13th. And the Epic Film Guys podcast actually sponsored an event. Yeah, no, you should put it on there, but it's okay. Later time. We have another Friday the 13th coming up in July. Another event we'll be sponsoring, actually. So this was an Epic Film Guys podcast presents event at the Alamo Drafthouse DC area. And we showed Friday the 13th, part 4, the final chapter, my personal favorite of the series. And in my opinion, as you guys can hear on my favorite slashers top 10 list episode that we did last October with Fear from Fearcast. It's in my top 5 slashers of all time. It was fantastic turnout. We actually gave away a full collection Friday the 13th Blu-ray box set. A guy named John won it. I got that much out of him. He got that and an Epic Film Guys sticker. We gave away stickers, and we took a huge group photo, which you could see on the Alamo DC Facebook page, as well as our page. It was fantastic. A lot of people had a blast, and I did a little mini intro, but I really just wanted to drink beer and watch the movie, so it was kind of short-lived. If you had been there, Nick, I'm sure you would have told them all about how you had never seen the movie.
I'd have just been up front, like,
I sucked a dick last night.
Like, you know, being my normal inappropriate self.
I did get called a dead fuck, and I called Loisos a dead fuck. So we did say that to the audience, and couple people chuckled a little bit. It was fantastic. But hey, if you're listening and you go to Alamo Drafthouse DC area, look forward to more Epic Film Guys podcast presents showings. We're going to be doing more of them, giving away more free stuff, more swag, more all kinds of stuff, just because we can and we love movies. And hey, why not come out and hang out with a cool guy? Well, half cool guy. And one other guy that likes to come on the podcast once in a while. And one guy that wishes he could come down. Either way, drink beer at movies. Let's do it.
All right, and Justin, you've been alluding to it all night. I watched you pour the can right in front of the camera. We got to go ahead and get into a little something that we call...
What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
I'm back! You can rally!
Woo! Give me a beer! You got to get your throat checked or something, because that sounded really scary. I don't know. That sounded like, I don't know. Sounded like John Wayne, like, you know, 2 packs a day toward the end of his life, John Wayne.
Add a little Clint Eastwood in there and a little bit of I Love Your Mother,
what
Charles
are you
Bronson
doing,
in there.
Justin.
Hey.
What is that beautiful orangish concoction you're drinking in front of you there?
It's a salty beer with apricots in it. What do you think it is? It's nice. It's crisp.
We love cock.
It has a sour bite.
Who said that?
Leaves you wanting more. It's the Aslan Beer Company's Goza with apricots. And this, I'd never drink this. I never drink this type of beer. It's very random. I mean, once in a while when I'm at Alamo Drafthouse, I mentioned him earlier, my buddy Chris, who's the bartender there. He's always trying to get me to try other stuff that isn't an IPA because he knows my love of the juice, as I call it, the orange juice that is an IPA, a New England IPA. But I figured this was like $15. I really loved the label on this thing. And I'm like, you know what? I want something different for the show. It's only 5% and obviously 0 IBUs. It's delicious. I like it. It's just sour enough for me. It's just an enjoyable treat for me. I could only drink probably one of these a night, but I like it a lot. It's good. And I would recommend it, Caleb. Yes. Very, 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 very good.
Does it have a wonderful mouthfeel?
What are you talking about? What's a mouthfeel? I don't know. Is it me feeling something in my mouth? Is there something going in the mouth other than the beer? Or is it my putting something of mine in your mouth? I don't know.
I'm not even on that part of the soundboard, so I can't even hit the button. Oh, now there are rats live on the live stream.
But my rat Sonny wants to say, What are you gonna cast? Like, I'm your girl of the same day. Squeak, 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 squeak.
Can we get, like, we need you to do, like, a Rizzo the Rat voice. Like, you already do the epic film frog, so now we need, like, a Rizzo the Rat.
I love Rizzo the Rat, man. Rizzo the Rat's great. Here, Sonny, hold on. Let's see your fat belly on the live stream.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Justin lives in a fucking petting zoo. All right, well, I already started the show. Earlier today, I was already talking about this over in the Hopester's Dumpster, and I was telling Justin about it a little bit earlier, but I had me some KBS from Founders. Their breakfast stout aged in bourbon barrels. Absolutely amazing. It's like the pinnacle of just stouts, period. It's got a nice chocolate flavor to it, got that nice, deep, smoky bourbon flavor to it. Absolutely fantastic. This, Justin, however, and I'm really wary of this, it was relatively inexpensive. It was only like $6 or $7, so that's why I picked it up. It is Samoa This. So I guess it's meant to taste like the Girl Scout cookie. It has.
I love that cookie. That's my favorite of the Girl Scout cookies. It has. I've never heard of this beer. What is this thing? What is this?
Pink Himalayan sea salt, chocolate, coconut, and caramel flavors. So I've never had it before. I've never even taken a sip of it. So we'll see. I want to see actually what this tastes like. And
on the air, ladies and gentlemen, let's have it.
I don't know. It all you can smell is the coconut and a little bit of the caramel on the head of it, which I don't know. We'll see. Hang on. Here we go.
Goom, 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 goom.
That smattering was meant to be way before. That was like, oh, it's so much coconut. There's so much coconut to it. So much. Like, you remember when you brought me that fucking Almond Joy candy
the
bar?
The Aslan coconut.
Beer?
Yeah.
Even this tastes more coconutty than that did.
The macaroon.
Yeah, this tastes more coconutty than that did. I mean, it's really decadent. It's really rich. It's got a good flavor to it. I won't say it's bad, but it's just very coconut forward.
Too rich?
Yeah.
Too rich?
Very coconut forward. Luckily, I don't mind the taste of coconut. I just can't stand the texture of it. So thankfully, this doesn't taste like you're chewing on fucking maggots or anything when you're drinking it. So it's pretty good. Not too bad. Shout out from John DeQuilla over in the live stream for KBS. I seen that said it's all about the apple teenies.
I don't think I've ever had an apple teeny. I did have an apple flavored vodka when I was a young child, very young at a party, and I puked up all over my friend's porch. But I mean,
ew.
I like to puke.
Piss yourself!
Yeah.
Oh, Dan. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. So, Justin, I know you did have a chance to see at least one or two movies in the theater this weekend or this week or whenever. You go to the movies all the goddamn time. I swear you live there. But basically, I'm passing the ball over to you. I'm passing the baton over to you. I'm throwing the pass or whatever. It's all on you.
Well, real quick, actually, because I wanted to keep that for maybe a middle segment here.
You're fired.
You and our good buddy Jared Taylor were talking about Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Gabrielle Luna being cast as the new Terminator in the upcoming Tim Miller film that is being executive produced by James Cameron. And I held back. I held back. I know you guys were commenting on it in the Hopester's Dumpster. For those of you unaware, the Hopester's Dumpster is our official fan group on Facebook. So if you're not in there, go there. But I wanted to save it for the show. I wanted to hear what you had to say about this because I found this interesting, though. Just to be fair, though, so far, all of the major cast, Nick, is like they're of Spanish descent in some way, which I found interesting. But I feel like that Gabrielle Luna's a very interesting choice for the Terminator, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the subject.
Why is Schwarzenegger in it again? Why are they dragging Linda Hamilton back into this whole fucking mess? And now they're ignoring 3. They're ignoring Salvation, they're ignoring Genesis, and they're just making yet another sequel to Terminator 2. Now, what direction do you possibly go in that Genesis didn't go in? Because Genesis was like, okay, we'll have him go back to an earlier time frame, so that's why he's older at the start of the 80s, which made sense. I mean, at least as far as that part of Genesis, it was fine. Like, Do you have him like come back from like he grew up in the future and then comes back from way further in the future, like a much further down point? I don't know. Like, I like thinking about plot things, but then I remember it's a fucking Terminator movie, and no matter who you get involved in these goddamn things, they cannot get the fucking things right whatsoever. I know Jim Cameron's back behind the pen for this one. I know he's got at least some hand in the script and he's doing some exec producing here, but sweet merciful Jesus. Yes, I seen that has it perfectly correct over in the live stream chat. The Terminator series needs to die. Enough is enough.
That's what I've been saying, man. I mean, those of our listeners know the first film is in my top five movies of all time. And the Terminator 2 is unparalleled. It's one of the best, if not the best action movie ever made, in my opinion. But I mean, I'll be open when I see the movie itself. I'm going to watch it like I watch any other movie. I'm not going to want to hate it before I sit down to see it. But I just don't know where they're going to take this. They're calling Sarah Connor being brought back as a seasoned warrior, of course. And I'm seasoned cool with bringing back old characters. Now, if it makes sense. But, I mean, the way that I look at it is, yes, they bring back older actors to come back and be seasoned in an action movie. So I have no problem with her coming back. But I just hope that the story is enough to be at least somewhat captivating. The Terminator franchise is one that's like, you look at it and you're like, there's two really amazing films. And after that, there's nothing really like noteworthy about them. And I don't know. I mean, I don't give a fuck if Cameron has anything to do with this. I really don't, man. You know, we had talked about on the show many a times that he came in and he actually championed Genesis and sponsored it, in a sense that he went out and did like video recommendations for it for Arnold, because he's friends with him, to recommend it for people to go see it, and said, quote unquote, it was the sequel to T2 that never happened. And we know how that turned out. So
just,
I don't know.
I've long said, and I said this, I know when we talked about this ages ago, when Cameron like originally was going to be coming back, Tim Miller got attached and whatever, like we talked about this ages ago, but for the love of Christ, just, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, all right? Not as much as you. I don't think anybody loves him as much as you. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, though, but Jesus Christ, he does not have to be part of this franchise anymore.
And I've said that too, Nick. I've admitted that. I'm totally cool with it as well. And a lot of fans, they decline to agree with that thought process. But for me, it's like, I've seen him in the best of them. He is a major component on why those films work. But you've seen him in, like, the worst of the worst, and we've seen him done in full CGI garb in Salvation, even shoehorned in for no purpose other than, hey, you can't have a Terminator movie without Arnold. I'd love to see what a Terminator movie could be without Arnold, because again, when it gets down to the nitty gritty, he's not the only thing that makes the film special, and there could be a lot of things they could do with it. Now, I think they're going to have him. I think they've come to terms with the fact that, especially with his recent heart surgery that he just had, there's no way he's going to be able to bulk up again. He did bulk up pretty good for Genesis. I don't think he's going to be another Terminator. I don't think they're going to try to play that card again. Please, I think they God, went as far don't. As they could with his age and Genesis. And I thought, again, we've talked about this on the show, he was by far like the least bad thing in Genesis. I thought he was pretty good in it. I thought he was charming in it, and he did as good of a job as he could do, but we don't need to see that again. We've already gone down that path. And so for me, I'm hoping they do something fresh, something original. And with Tim Miller behind the camera, I'm really, really hoping that there must be something interesting to get a guy like that who directed Deadpool involved. So I'm praying that there's something worthwhile to see there. But I, again, Gabriel Luna, like, that's the main thing. When I see the guy's picture, I don't see a Terminator, so I think that's an interesting choice, but we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, I seen that, mentioned it over in the live stream. It's like putting down a family pet, but I can't see it anymore or walk correctly, but the time has come. So that's absolutely perfect. I don't know. I feel like as long as you have a Schwarzenegger involved, like Genesis was a good idea for a movie. They tried to do the Star Trek 2009 thing where they rebooted it within the same continuity so they could go off in their own direction. It was a good idea for a movie, but then they just tripped over themselves like really, really badly because they cast Jai fucking Courtney in it. And like,
well, that, and you get the director that directed like a film we're going to be talking about in our Phase 2 segment, the one of the worst, if not the worst, in my opinion, Marvel Cinematic Universe film. You get a guy like that, a hack who doesn't know how to direct a movie and put absolutely no heart or love into it. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a really generic blockbuster, and that's what Genesis was.
Yeah, really the pinnacle of fucking mediocrity in Alan Taylor. So, I mean, like, yeah, Tim Miller is a much better talent. I'll give you that. Cameron being involved at least gives me some kind of hope that maybe he's pointing this franchise in the right direction.
As long as he's taking his pills, man. As long as he's taking his meds. We know he's nuts, you know.
That's true. But you know, I don't feel like you need to have attachments to the past. If you want to do a new Terminator movie, get Schwarzenegger, get Hamilton, get everybody else the fuck away from it and just write a compelling story with good characters. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Screenwriters are doing it every day. Movies come out every single year where there's really, really good characters and really, really awesome stuff. A Quiet Place. We just talked about it last week. Amazing characters, really, really well-rounded characters in a fucking movie that's only 90 minutes long and there's barely any dialogue. They managed to create really nice characters. So it's not fucking complicated, but I feel like this franchise has just this giant fucking noose around its neck with its Schwarzenegger's holding the end of the rope, like, because they can't get him out of these fucking movies. Like, he's a great, he's great. He's Schwarzenegger, and we on this podcast love him more than most people because, of course, he was the greatest villain of all time in cinema history.
Freeze, winter, come on.
That was meant to be more dramatic because my soundboard was turned down, so you didn't get to hear
winter.
He was the greatest villain in cinematic history. So I mean, we love Arnold Schwarzenegger on this podcast, we really do, but man.
On a lighter note, before we get moving on into the rest of the show, we don't have
Jared
planned.
He would rust if he lived next to the waterfall. It's too wet there.
Those of you in the live stream right now, I know this, I don't know how long you got this going for, Nick, but there is a 20% off code on Redbubble right now if you want to use it for a live stream for the Cure, t-shirts, tank tops, whatever you want. It is 20 now at checkout. All profits go towards our goal of raising $5,000 for cancer research. So if you're listening in the live stream and you haven't had a chance to purchase a shirt yet, you got a variety. You can get a fashion shirt and look all stylish at the bar. You can get a regular t-shirt, be a regular Joe Schmo on the street. You can get a tank top for when you hit the beach. 20% off right now.
Yes, I actually ordered live my own
for the Cure
earlier tonight. I ordered one for myself earlier tonight. So that way,
me too.
You know, get these things moving and you know, every single penny of the profits from these goes to the live stream for the Cure. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So please, please, please consider, you know, dropping us a donation, dropping us a little bit of something. You can still make early donations at livestreamforthecure.com. But if everybody's waiting, hanging on and waiting to make their donations live on the air, that's great. Make them live on the air with your favorite show. And, you know, if whoever raises the most money in a half an hour featured programming block wins an Epic Film Guys prize pack. It's that simple. It's absolutely that simple. So we're going to go ahead, Justin, and we're going to roll into a quick promo break here for some EFG history. Live stream, stay tuned, because again, we're just going to drop some Full Metal Jacket on you. Simple as that. Throwing it right in here for you. And then we're going to come back and Justin is going to drop a couple. You got what? One, two reviews you're going to give us or no?
One review for a little film that hit, well, indie cinemas at least this last weekend. You Were Never Really Here, starring Joaquin Phoenix.
Nice. So yeah, we are going to go ahead and run into a quick break. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen,
Justin Esquivel.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. Well, nerds, geeks, and newcomers alike, we're the Shaken Not Nerd podcast, where each week we review movies and video games and discuss what's going on the nerd world. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ian the Huge Footlong Johnson.
Hey, babes.
The Tom.
Hello there.
And Ollie, also known as Big Red.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Doody Dutrum. And this is us.
About 5 minutes beforehand, I was talking to my friends, being like, if they make me say I love Harvey Norman, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. The second they said that, I'm like, I love it, Norman!
Yes! Fresh it! I'll suck it, dick, for one, it's for honor.
Pink just released a new album, which apparently is really
Thank
good.
God.
Title, Purple.
Pink, right? No, two in the.
Where can people find us, guys?
Why are you looking at me this time?
Well, I do believe you can find us on any relevant social media outlets.
Or the podcast app of choice.
Mm.
Oh, there are a lot of good ones. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Shaken Not Nerd.
This week in epic film history.
All right, I believe in us. We can do this. This is just like a regular old show.
I mean, I don't give a shit. It's not my piece of shit to put out there, you know?
I don't know. Sorry,
I didn't understand the question.
Fix yourself!
Like my daughter, you know, she's 12. She was sitting next to me. Anytime Shere Khan showed up, she'd hide her face. Or you could tell she was sitting back in her seat. She was frightened by it a little bit. And that's what a good villain's supposed to do. And Nick, I'm not going to mention the name of that cinematic universe we talk about quite a bit.
You mean the one that Disney owns?
Who has a hard time getting their villains to be more than just for face value. This movie did it perfectly.
Yeah, Shere Khan was an amazing villain in this film. And I mean, again, Justin, Disney owns said cinematic universe. So it's just kind of, it's funny that this director, even Jon Favreau, you know, made a couple of those films and they got a villain better here than...
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Pretty much almost any villain over there, so... But we don't want to...
Oh, are you guys talking about Marvel?
What?
You no, said that... You're not supposed to say... You're not supposed to say it.
Get him out of here. Can we mute him? God.
I'm sorry, what's going on?
Oh, God, I gotta cut that in editing. Oh, okay.
I almost thought we were... Okay.
All right, I think we're good.
I am your host, Epic Film Guy Nick.
And I am Justin, and I am also an epic film guy.
Wait. Holy shit, I'm not Nick. What the fuck am I talking about? And you're not Justin either. What the fuck?
I'm counting my tattoos. I don't have enough.
How many Batman 89 tattoos do you have? If it's less than zero...
How could it be less than zero?
I don't know. Just ignore that I said that and just move on. No, instead, we are Daleb and Cam... from the Netflix and Swill podcast.
Good old Daleb and Cam.
Those are totally real names that are not made up in the least bit.
Am I Daleb or am I Cam?
Get out,
Cox.
No,
stop it.
Cox, dicks. Dicks. Semen. Semen. Come. Semen. Cox. Brad Pitt shirtless. Brad Pitt shirtless. Ryan Gosling shirtless. I would say that reports of his death have been greatly exaggerated, a la that new Kingsman poster.
Welcome back, film fans. Thanks for sticking with us and hanging out with us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. Hopefully, we won't have to deal with any epic film frogs named Denny or any hopesters or lisps or...
Shut the fuck up, Denny.
Nick, you can talk if you want, but I know you haven't seen the movie I'm about to talk about. That's right. I'm going to do a mini review for a... You've seen nothing like your entire life or just, you mean, like recently?
I've seen that. Thank you very much for subscribing.
Great. Thank
I need
you.
To add these
Thank
things
you.
To the actual YouTube thingy here. Because so, Justin can't hear them, but I hear them. So Justin's like, huh?
What, Lorraine? What? I still want you to put that on the damn soundboard, but you never will. But ladies and gentlemen,
it's not a clean clip. Like, you can't get it clean.
I can't get your ass clean. You well, dirty.
Wash harder.
You dirty barbarian. You. But I had the opportunity to see... It only hit the indie market, I think. I had to drive to Angelica Film Center in Mosaic, which I talk about in the show all the time. It did not hit Alamo Drafthouse or any other major cinemas. You were never really here. It's a film that just came out this past weekend. What?
Where was I?
You told us already earlier in the show. You were working at and doing this for the live stream and doing that and beer, drink. I don't know. But this is a film, a thriller, written and directed by Lim Ramsey. Based on a book also of the same name by Jonathan Ames, the film stars Joaquin Phoenix. He plays a character named Joe, who is a combat veteran and a former agent with hardcore PTSD problems. He is a hired gun who basically goes through and does jobs. He kills a lot of people, and he rescues trafficked girls that are taken, abducted, and used for this underground, disgusting, really horrible sex market where, yeah, lots of horrible people like to use them. And he cares for his elderly mother, played here by Judith Roberts. He lives at his childhood home in New York City. Now, the PTSD plays out where you get graphic flashbacks to his childhood, his past in the military and FBI. This guy's a really crazy dude. You could tell as soon as the film starts, he's not on the same level as a normal human being. And the way that the film is presented to you, you're with him along the way. Now, we meet him as he's finishing a job, and you get the brutality of this guy right off the bat. And when shit starts hitting the fan, you really feel it. This film is as gritty as it gets, but it's also super stylized. He decides to take on a job where he's going to save a missing girl that also happens to be the daughter of a would-be governor. Okay, this guy is in a political race right now, and his daughter has been taken and sold off to this underground sex slave little, culture, I guess you would call it. And it's his job to kind of get her out of that. The film itself flaunts a real sheer power in the artistic skill. It really keeps its grip on you as tightly as our protagonist grips his hammer as he beats his adversaries into a bloody pulp. I mean, when shit starts hitting in the fan in this movie, you feel every single blow. It's Phoenix at his best. I mean, this guy has literally been a powerhouse for every single performance that he's done in the past 5 years, from The Master to Her to, even as much as I dislike the film itself, Inherent Vice, he was fantastic in that. And it just goes to show he is one of the best working actors in Hollywood today, and taking indie stuff like this as well, Nick. And he beefed up majorly for the role. I mean, his traps in this movie are huge. He's got this physical presence here. And all this guy is doing, he's trying to deal with his childhood, his obviously we get to see flashbacks of what happened to him, and his experiences in the military that literally scarred him. We know there's a huge issue with soldiers coming back from war and PTSD. And I feel like this is the first film that I've witnessed personally that really deals with that in a realistic fashion. Now, Time had called this movie Taxi Driver for a New Century, and I definitely see the resemblance to that. We have this character who has PTSD. He lives in New York City. There's a lot of similar kind of an artistic look to it, like when you're driving through the city and you feel like the city is this living, breathing creature. It's definitely a character in the film. The film is super brutal. This guy, he doesn't like to use a gun. His weapon of choice is a hammer. So when he gets the job, he gets hired on to go take out some scumbags. He's not going in with a knife or a gun or a baseball bat. He's using a fucking hammer, and he's bashing these people into pieces as he sees fit. And the film was completely disturbing in the sense that it deals with subject matter such as these underground sex slave homes, where people go in, people that are well known in our society, you know, politicians, movie stars, they go in and they have sex with children. And this has been a thing that's been widely known for a long time, and it hasn't been touched on in any film that I've seen up until this point. And I really love the fact that in this movie, we finally get to see a protagonist actually go up against these people and like beat them down to death. But it's not, the violence isn't glorified in the way that I'd kind of hoped it would be, Nick. You know, when I go to see like an action movie or a horror movie, I like to see the kills. I like to see the brutality on screen, especially guts. especially when the bad guy is someone that's really bad, like someone that's actually physically and mentally abusing children and having sex with them. That's like the worst thing in the world. So I want to see those people get brutalized in the most violent fashion possible. But in this case, Nick, I think that what director Lynn Ramsey wanted to do was not shy away from that brutality, but just not glorify it, where you're not seeing it like to get you excited. It's done almost in a secondhand nature, where a lot of it in a couple scenes is done from the view of a security camera, or we meet Joe after he's already beaten the bad guy to the ground, and you just see this blood everywhere. He's holding the hammer. But we don't actually see the violence that often in the film, which I thought was really interesting. It's the kind of movie you would expect, kind of like you see some influences, of course, from Taxi Driver and from Reference Drive, where this guy's beating the shit out of people. He's killing them because he's hired to do it, and he has no emotion as he does so. For me, I'm going to take maybe a point or two off for the fact that I get that's what they were going for. But me as the moviegoer, as the person going in to be entertained and to watch that movie, I wanted to see those fucking scumbags get their skulls crushed in as up close and personal as possible. And I did not get that from the film. Dude, I got to tell you, this film sported my favorite score of the year so far by Johnny Greenwood, also known for his stunning work in There Will Be Blood, and of course this year's Phantom Thread, among many others. It's unconventional in the sense that it blends pulse-pounding synthesizers with an almost bombastic, like, tribal backbone fused with blood-curdling high strings, man. Oh. I mean, I haven't heard a score like this that mixes so many different types of genres into one, and it's like pure agony listening to this thing, because you'll be driving in the city and you'll get that very stylistic, like, side view of the car driving through with all the lights with synth, and then when he goes in to actually do a job, it turns to this more horrific high string sound, and then it goes into like these really tribal drums in the background. It's crazy. And it hits that gritty urban territory that we spend the majority of the film perfectly. This film, above all, made me want to see Ramsey's other film that a lot of other people were talking about. We Need to Talk About Kevin. That's right. That's the title of the movie. And I hear that it's really, really good. And this film actually got a 7-minute standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival. I can see why. It's extremely powerful in the sense that we typically don't see a character such as Joe go in and tear these people apart. And then we also deal with them emotionally in the sense that they're real human beings. We see the aftermath of what happens to someone after they do something like this, where the stress really takes them over, the anxiety, and he's getting flashbacks. And you kind of see why this guy's okay with doing this rather than just a cold-blooded badass killer. You get into his psyche, you understand him, and you feel for him a little bit. There's a really touching moment at the end of the movie, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but when we actually see him kind of quote unquote get the job done, you see how human he really is, and you feel a lot of emotion for him. And then the ending is just absolutely perfect with this. But not to go on too much longer, because I know you haven't seen the film, and to be fair, Nick, I know you don't even know what the fuck this movie is. Yeah, baby. It hit me in the face really hard. It's super atmospheric. I absolutely love that about it. And man, you just can't take anything away from Joaquin Phoenix. I think this is probably one of my top three roles of his. Obviously, my personal favorite is him as Johnny Cash. But in this, like, dude, he really put on a stellar performance. And I highly recommend this movie to anyone that wants to see someone that's different than anything else that's being put out into cinemas right now. And the kind of thriller that you probably wouldn't expect seeing. If you see the posters, don't let them lead you on. It's not the film that you're going to get. This is not some big action spectacle or anything. There is brutal stuff happening in the movie, but I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give You Were Never Really Here, and I know that you're not really here right now, Nick, a 7 out of 10 rating. I thought it was a good
where
film.
Am
I see you in the live stream. I don't really know where you are. I wonder where your brain
how
is
did
right
I get
now.
Here how did but he get there.
I thought the film was very enjoyable. It really sucked me in, like I said earlier. It grabs you as hard as it can, and it pulls you in, and it doesn't let you go till the end of the movie. And that's what I expect from a thriller. That's what I expect from something like this starring Joaquin Phoenix. So I highly recommend You Were Never Really Here. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10 hammer knockouts.
That's right. You should hear like a little skull cracking in there, and like a psk.
I wish,
you know,
man. Because
when you
I wish.
Smash someone
man.
In the skull.
I need to add some more.
I get that that's not what this movie was, dude, but I really wish that, like,
that's what you they wanted going in.
That's
what you wanted going in.
Yeah.
You
man.
Wanted
I just
like
wanted
to see
those bad
squirt
dudes.
Of blood, a big fake spurt of blood just slop up all over Joaquin Phoenix's face while he's bashing some dude with a hammer. I know.
I mean, there's a couple parts, but I mean, to be fair, I get that's not what this movie is, and I commend it for that. It's very different, it's very original. Go see it if you get the chance.
Very, very nice. Well, Justin, that's it for segment two. I mean, we really don't have a lot else, but we are going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and more talk about the live stream for The Cure and, I don't know, whatever the fuck else we feel like throwing in at the end of the show.
Watch out for Godzilla!
Godzilla is going to
be
there.
Yeah, I will.
Apparently.
Yeah, Godzilla may show up. Who knows? Yeah, man, we'll be right back.
Greetings and salutations. This is Fuzzy Dan from Who Spiked the Puns.
We're a movie mashup podcast where we take two movies linked only by a name and their title. We mash them together and squish them all up and make them all new and exciting. This is not a review podcast. We don't do reviews. We just talk shit about the movies and the fat people that are in them. Or unpopular people, or whatever it might be. There's always special guests. We have lots of people from around the interwebs. Some are from your favourite podcast. Some are just my friends or family. Check us out at whospikedthepuns.com, where you can download all of our latest and greatest episodes, some of our old back catalogue as well. There's hours of content to keep you entertained. You can find us in all of the popular places where other good podcasts are found. We'll see you around the interwebs.
This week in epic film history.
Here, yeah, show it to Nick before we start so he can be grossed out.
And what there is to be grossed out by. It's chocolate.
No. Just look.
No, look. You can't do it in the bowl.
How are you supposed to see it if I don't tip it over, Chris? It's gross. It looks like diarrhea.
Is it margarine in the brown sugar Splenda blend again?
Then you go,
It doesn't matter how I eat it. It tastes like crap. No, I don't want it. Get it away from me. It smells. It smells like bad. Sugar? No, it smells like shit. You didn't eat any dinner, did you?
I did.
Oh my gosh,
she's
you're
about
like,
to eat her dinner right now.
She's like 6 years old, Chrissy. Go eat your fudge somewhere.
Bye.
Don't eat it next to me. Jeez.
Because when she was a kid, her fudge was made out of actual ingredients like butter. Nothing like margarine and Splenda.
She's up there stirring it angrily now.
It actually reminds me a lot of like Kung Fury, that title card. Yeah.
I just fucking said that you get.
Oh, did you? Sorry, I was looking at Penguins playoff shit.
I guess that's kind of my payback for not paying attention to you for most of your time talking about Fate of the Furious.
When Penguins playoff shit is online, I turn off the rest of my brain and just focus on that. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm back. Puke and rally. Woo! Give me a beer.
In the world of Endicott, New York and Harnden, Virginia, two whippets.
In the world of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania and Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Come to Netflix and Swills.
Two Swill Bros dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call
Downstream.
Downstream.
I hope you enjoy editing all of this, you fuck.
Yeah, just let us know your favorite Bronson film and maybe we'll pick one out for you. Just let us know.
Yeah, let Justin know. I'm not doing that shit. Somebody will send me a message and be like, oh man, do you remember this part in Death Wish 2 when he does this and he does this? And I'll be like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry, Justin. He's getting okay. Mad. I feel
one of these days, I think if the first one I would have you watch, I know if you haven't seen Once Upon a Time in the West, you have to watch that one because that's an utter classic. That's one that you just have to see.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're still here. We've always been here. I'm still here, as I seen that mentioned that weird documentary that Phoenix did over in
Limetown. I'm still here.
Are you still here, Justin?
He's still here. I'd like to think that I'm still here.
Is that Frog like still here?
I think he's here. Yeah, he's definitely here. For sure. I don't know about the Hopester. The Hopester hasn't been around in a while. You scolded him the last time he came in and was trying to profit off of the live stream for The Cure 2.0. So I think that...
Isn't that bullshit? Yeah,
I did see a tent near the local Target. I'm not bullshitting. There's a guy that lives, he's homeless. He lives near the local Target down the street here. And I think that he might be shacking up with that guy. I don't know. It's not near a bar, though. It's near a gas station.
Well,
impressed. He could get 40s.
I'm impressed that you managed to make that tent look so much like your old apartment that you lived in. And you're sitting in it right now because we all know that it's really you that's living by that Target. Come on now.
I know nothing of the sort. I don't even know what you're talking about. You like to spout accusations at me every chance you get. God damn it.
But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap out on the show here in just a few moments. But before we do, I want to take a few moments to tell you more about the live stream for The Cure. More stuff that we've got coming up for that. As I was mentioning earlier in the show, I did some restructuring. We added a few more featured programming blocks, and we got a few more shows to sign up. And I want to go ahead and just throw some of this information at you here. Boom. Just like Justin just did in the live stream, he just threw shit right at my face. First things first, though, before we get there, I actually want to announce something else that we're going to be doing for the live stream for The Cure this year, because I don't want to just make this about me or about how cancer has affected me or about Justin, how cancer has affected Justin. I want to make this about everybody. Okay. So we want you to tell us your cancer stories. So over in the live stream, I actually just put this logo up here. Justin just whipped this up for me earlier tonight. But we're going to be posting this all out over social media. And what we need from you guys, whether you want to record something, you can pre-record it and we'll play it on the air. Or if you just want to write down the text of it and have us read it on the air throughout the live stream for The Cure, throughout whatever, someplace in there, we'll throw them in there periodically whenever we get to them. We're going to talk about your stories. We're going to talk about why you want to take part in the live stream for The Cure and why this event speaks to you. I've heard from a lot of people who, you know, cancer has affected them really, really negatively. Of course, cancer affects everybody negatively. I don't think it affects anybody positively necessarily. But yeah, we need your stories. We need your stories. So when you see this image, what's your story, popping up over on the Twitter account or over on Facebook, you can email it. You don't have to make it public. You can privately email it, and you know, whatever you want us to do with it, we'll do with it. But yeah, we want to tell your story. So if you have a way that cancer has affected you, please let us know, because we'd really want to get that out there. This event is going to be huge. This event is going to be way, way, way bigger than, you know, the last one was. The last year we did a really great job. $2,500 is nothing to sneeze at. And that was only in 12 hours, Justin. So this year, 30 hours. Actually, it's going to be a little bit longer than 30 hours, probably. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing.
I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic, as you said. I'm super pumped for it. Last year was really a great fun time for us all. And who doesn't want to have fun with also, you know, backing up a really great cause? I mean, dude, you can have fun any day of the week, but have fun and make it worthwhile while you're supporting something that really needs the support that we're trying to give it is something that I felt blessed to be a part of. So I'm super pumped for it. I know that a lot of our patrons are pumped for it, and we're really amping up as much as we possibly can to get the word out there. Tell all your friends, tell your family members, tell anyone, because we all know, Nick, like that's one of the biggest problems in our country right now is cancer. And a lot of people we see day in and day out on social media, people I know, I'm friends with, family members, you know, are affected by this. And I feel like everyone has that story. So we'd love to hear your story. We'd love for you to be a part of this with us and help smash out cancer with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, we are actually probably going to end up going a little bit longer than 30 hours. I'll talk about that in just a moment. You guys already know Miserable Retail Slave is going to be kicking off our first two featured programming blocks, Randy and Tommy. They do an amazing comedy podcast. I'm super thrilled that they're going to be on board. Our brother from Perth, Paul from The Countdown, is going to be here for like 2 or 3 hours. He's just going to be here for quite a while Friday night, hanging out with us. We're going to do some kind of countdown. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Matt Pierce in the Crossover Podcast later on Friday evening. Gerald and Andy, two peas on a pod. Gerald's one of our sponsors. Thank you, Gerald. We absolutely love you. They're going to be on the What Were They Thinking podcast, Justin. They talk about bad movies. Bad movies. So I bet you they talk about those two Guardians of the Galaxy pieces of shit whenever they talk about their podcast.
Don't say that. No.
The Epic Film Guys, we and two guests, we need guests. If you want to sign up for any of these guest sequences, if you want to sign up for any of these guest segments that we're going to be doing, one retrospective we're going to be doing from 11 p.m. to midnight on Friday, Justin, the films of Quentin Tarantino. That's going to be an amazing discussion. Absolutely amazing. Not really going to count them down or rank them or anything, but I think just talk about them. Just talk about our favorites and stuff.
You gotta love some Tarantino.
Yes, absolutely. Shane from Now That I'm Older, he actually wants to do 80s movies with us, Justin. We're going to talk about 80s movies with Shane when he comes on the show. I know you love your 80s movies, so I know you'll definitely be on board for that. Speaking of 80s movie fans, Dina Marie from the Twisted Philly podcast, who is seeking my blood after I trashed the Karate Kid on the countdown last week. She really, really loves that movie. She's going to murder me. Whenever we meet, I love that movie too.
But what, I mean, come on. What don't you trash that people love? That's just who you are.
I like lots of things, Justin. Lots of things. I'm going to piss off a bunch of Guardians of the Galaxy fans in our phase two. Our phase two retrospective that we're going to be doing a little bit later here in the live stream, though. And Heather from Sunshine and Power Cuts, who, again, she has a page on her own website dedicated to this event. That's how amazing she's going above and beyond. All right. On Saturday, movie quote trivia. We've got the Zombie Kitty podcast, Everything I Learned from the Movies, Death by Film, and We Watched a Thing, all taking part in movie quote trivia. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Steve is hanging out with us from Everything I Learned from Movies for the next block after that. And then Justin, your best friend, everybody's best friend, Dan.
Fuck off, Justin.
That guy. And Caleb from the Netflix and Swill podcast are going to be here for Dick Picks. Now, this is a segment that they do on Netflix and Swill where they take a dictionary word and they search for that word on Netflix and they watch something that pops up in the search results. And I think Dan watched a Tinkerbell movie last week on the show. It's a really interesting segment.
Wow.
Yeah. They just pick a random word, whatever the random word generator gives them, and they search for it. Our absolute, probably the biggest champion of the Epic Film Guys, aside from the Epic Film Guys themselves, Emily from The Story Behind, is also going to be here on Saturday. We still need two more players for movie soundtrack trivia. That's going to be Saturday evening. Also Saturday evening, most anticipated films of summer 2018. Justin, we need two guests for that as well. That's going to be a lot of fun. Later on Saturday evening, Lisa and Sam from the I Shake My Head podcast are going to be joining us. Fuzzy Dan, Fuzzy D himself from Who Spiked the Puns, is going to be here to help us with What Are You Drinking?
Dude, it's been a while since he's been on. I feel like it's been since the last
probably the last megasode, yeah. Here.
Holy shit.
I love Fuzzy. I had the opportunity to visit him not too long ago. We did Touch of Resident Evil, which was fantastic. We got to hear all about Hank Quinlan's chili. I love a bowl of your chili. There's nothing like watching Orson Welles in the biggest fat suit of all time talk about how much he loves to eat chili in literally the most horrifying voice possible. It makes me feel dirty whenever I think about eating chili. Oh, my God.
Didn't Orson Welles get fat in real life, though, in later years?
He did, he wasn't quite that fat yet when he did Touch of Evil. He was still not quite as fat as Quinlan, that's for damn sure. Oh, man. The Afterburn 739 podcast is going to be here with us for like an hour and a half on Saturday. And like I said, they are actually giving all the proceeds for their merchandise sales to Livestream for the Cure as well. And they're giving away an Afterburn prize pack to whoever, they're giving away. They're just everybody that buys merchandise, are going to put into a raffle and give it away, give away a big prize pack. And they're going to give all the proceeds to everything for the Livestream for the Cure, which is amazing. Thank you, guys. Horror movie trivia. This is going to be a big one Saturday night. We've got one person signed up for so far. We need three more people to sign up for horror movie trivia. I guess no one wants to challenge Super Movie Brother Dave's horror movie knowledge. I don't know. No, you and Loin Sauce can't play. You have to host the show. You have to be on the show, Justin. You can't be part of trivia and win prizes.
It's not fair. Damn it. It's not fair. It's not fair. I can't play any games.
All right, and then
play?
Wrapping out Saturday night, this is actually really, really special. This is going to be really, really great. I had the chance to be on this podcast recently. It's a Star Wars role-playing podcast from our very own Shampoo, hashtag Shut Up Shampoo, Loot Quest, from 10:30 on. Like, the show is supposed to end at midnight on Saturday. We're just going to start at 10:30 and just go with Loot Quest. And Caleb from Netflix and Swill, John from Now and Technicolor, and Super Movie Brother Dave are all part of that as well. And I got to play a protocol droid, Justin, who had a speech impediment. It was really, really fun.
Ooh, that sounds just right up your alley. Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, my God. For Sunday, we've got the Da podcast. Really, really, really excited about that. Just signed up today, Steve, from that show. Adam Higgins from the Odd Dad Out podcast, who actually would like to have us on his show, Justin, ahead of the live stream for The Cure. We got to get in touch with him and set that up. Netflix and Swill's doing a one-star movie Sunday afternoon. We have the Idiosyncrasy Files coming up Sunday afternoon, and Perry and Lindsay from Hello Life and the pod stuff. And aside from all that stuff, spotlights for the Indiana Jones trilogy. So that's pretty much it. That's pretty much your programming list for the live stream for The Cure, aside from free-for-alls and stream games and all sorts of stuff where we're just going to play games on the stream with people who are watching, people who are on the air. It can be a free-for-all. People can jump in. People can jump out on the Discord. We're just going to have a lot of fun with those. So if you want to take part in the event, if you want to be in a featured programming block, we still have a few available, and we still need a lot of guests for a lot of these segments. So please, please, please hit us up over on Twitter or over on Facebook if you'd like to take part in any of these amazing segments. It's going to be so much fun, Justin. It's going to be so much fun. The amount of people that are,
like I said,
already on board for this is crazy. It's going to be a blast.
We need to reach out. Tell everyone, everyone you know, every single person you know, anyone you think will be interested, anyone that you know that loves podcasts, have them listen for a great cause. Have them get involved for a great cause. Hey, I designed that shirt. It looks good. You may be trying to get laid. You could buy the shirt. You know, good cause. Donate the money. You can go into the bar, get a drink. You might get something out check, of it, too. Check, you know, benefits. Sound benefits. Check.
I don't know what loy sauce is.
I don't know about
loy
sauce. Where'd he come from? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. But also, go ahead and check out the most recent episode, episode 195 of the Angry Old Man podcast. I wrote a short play. I talked about this a couple weeks ago for his podcast. And I actually did a quote-unquote interview where he pre-recorded some questions of the different characters he does, asking me questions. I gave answers, sent them back, and he actually responded to them. And so he put together this whole interview and then did the play that I wrote for him, this little short play where his characters visit a hot dog shop called something Footlongs. I can't remember what it is. Papa's Footlongs. That's what it is. Pop a footlong today. Justin, pop a footlong. Yes.
Don't even say his name. Okay, it's not happening. Talking those footlongs, baby. Ooh, yeah.
How dare you?
I agree, Paul. Son of a bitch. But I think this was pretty short and sweet, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have a lot of other content. No trailers this week, no epic previews. I didn't get the chance to see shit, so I don't have anything. I have nothing for anybody aside from this Marvel discussion we're going to get into, which is going to air as its own minisode next Monday. I know. What are you doing with your face? This is why you guys need to check out the live stream when we do these live events. These videos are always available on YouTube after the fact if you guys want to watch them after the fact. But Justin's fucking sitting here like rocking back and forth in his chair like a goddamn madman.
Just because I know that I have to talk about Marvel Phase 2 and I'd much rather go over here and watch Scream 4 and just sit right next. Right, I could just watch it. Can I watch Scream 4 as we talk about Phase 2?
Fuck off, Justin.
Thank you, Dan. But that's going to do it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You guys are amazing. Everybody out there that listens to the show, if you're a new listener and you made it this far, first of all, congratulations. We should give away medals for people that actually listen to the end of all of our shows because, man, it's absolutely crazy. Get over to iTunes. Give us that subscription. Throw us that 5-star review over on iTunes. Subscribe to the show on Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker, Blueberry, Overcast. We live stream on YouTube. We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
Everywhere you could possibly think
of. We are the herpes of the podcast
everywhere.
Universe. Wait, certainly do we want to be known as that?
I think I might have a few bumps still down there from my last breakout, so I don't really care. I'll be honest about it. Who gives a shit? Go check us out. We're on all social media platforms.
Everywhere.
Instagram at Epic Film Guys. Twitter at Epic Film Guys. Facebook, Epic Film Guys. You name it. As long as we're doing this, you're going to see content. So come check us out all over, wherever you go. And your favorite podcast app, like Nick just said, we're on all of them, right? All of them? All the important ones, at least, right?
We are on all of the important ones. And, well, yeah. I'm pretty sure we are. I don't even know. There might be more. I also wanted to announce for great justice, Justin, for great justice, I defeated the evil, dark, horrible, negative, whatever you want to call him, Shock Top himself. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy, wait a minute, hang on, I don't have the sound cued. Ladies and gentlemen, I defeated over on the countdown top 10 movie fights.
Hooray!
I thrashed him. Actually, I didn't thrash him. It was a close vote. It was a pretty close vote, but he basically tailored his entire list to troll me. Like, he put Karate Kid in there. He put fucking Roadhouse in there. He put, like, everything he knew I would get a rise out of, he put in there.
Yeah.
And I picked some fights. I had Rocky versus Apollo from the first fucking Rocky movie I had in there, Justin. I think you would have been pretty proud of my
proud
list.
Yeah. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, that was my number two, actually.
I,
Yeah, that was my number two.
So unlike you, and I'm very proud of you for your list. Unlike you, though, I did vote for you. I did vote for your list. I went over there and voted.
I can't be held responsible for that kind of thing. When Justin takes part in these polls and stuff like that, I'll be like, what the fuck? He'll do these things and he'll pick lists of shit that I've never seen. Like when he did the horror movie thing, I had never seen any of the movies he voted for. I was like, I've never seen any of those movies.
But I have to be a contrarian in some sense, because that's what you are. So I feel like when I go on the things to do the things that I have to kind of channel you in a sense and go, I have to pick one thing that people are going to give me shit for, or else it won't be fun.
Yeah, that's very, very true. But it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun being on the countdown. Thank you very much, Paul, eternally, from the bottom of my heart. And Wayne.
What's up, my Nubian friend?
Yes, get well soon. He got his Terminator hip installed.
Man.
He is half machine, half Asian, half something else. I don't know what. I don't even know.
Half lover boy, half lover boy.
Well, he's all lover boy. He's
stud.
Just listen to the emphasis.
I sucked a dick last night.
That is not somebody that doesn't give 110%. That's not. So, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you very, very much for listening to the show. And Justin, go away.
For myself, for Nick, for the sauce, A1 Lloyd. Choss, A1 steak sauce, whatever the fuck you want to call them. For Denny, the epic mole fucking film frog, and that one drunk, dirty, homeless bastard that likes to show up at the show randomly.
Stop getting up on me.
No, not you, Denny. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Epic Film Guys
very,
podcast.
Very, very much for listening. Oh my God.
And we will see you. At the movies.
You're not my fucking mother.
Who keeps inviting him in here?
We love cock.
Who said that?
I've been on the stage. It's been a long time. Come on. Come on, don't bullshit me. You know.
When you tune into the Epic Film Guys, you're getting more than just movie news. We talk about booze.
You know what? I got a better idea for it. You and your chocolate stout. Why don't you go buy the cheapest shit brand of chocolate ice cream, go get some Miller Lite and pour it on it, and there's your chocolate stout.
Brother!
Oh. There it is.
Oh, that would taste so fucking bad. Random acts of violence. They need to be hit in the face with a shovel.
They literally just grab your face as an audience member and they just force it down as hard as they can up against this pile of shit, and they just rub it in as hard and as fast as they can. Cox!
And Nick.
Oh my
Nick,
lord.
It's so big. It's so big. I don't even think that I could fit it down my throat or up my ass. It's fucking huge. I don't know if I've taken that large of a cock, I mean, of a subject in any one day. So it is huge. And Justin wanted me to come in and comfort you and rub the back of your neck and maybe just slide my hand down your pants a little bit. Hey, dude, get out
of here. Get out of here. Get out of here.
No, I said no. I did not get a sex change, Nick. That didn't happen yet. That's happening maybe the end of next summer. We don't know yet.
Okay, well, keep me apprised of that situation. The lisp will definitely keep me informed.
The lisp has not... I've got a control on it. I'm taking special medication.
I bet, right? I could coax him out if I talk about dicks enough.
I don't know. Maybe if you talk about Patrick Swayze and Ghost, okay?
Whoa, my love. Angry Rants.
Shut the fuck up and let me do my job.
Stop it, you wing, you baby! Shut up!
Because of these little douche fuck goddamn motherfucking stupid fucking son of a teddy bear asshole pieces of shit Ewoks. And the fact that they're able to stand up against the Galactic Empire, which is supposed to be this intensely formidable force with fucking bolas and spears and sticks and shit, when they got laser rifles. Fucking laser rifles! You can shoot the fucking things and they'll burn to death! This is my rant for the week, I guess.
This week's edition of Nick's Rants.
But most of all, you'll get two passionate guys talking in-depth about the movies that we love. But how fucking great was the little BB-8? How great was that little fucker?
Dude, BB-8 stole the show.
So awesome!
I mean, anytime, as soon as he showed up, you know, the whole entire theater lit up with joy. I saw my daughter's eyes, and they literally sparkled anytime BB-8 was on screen. That's exactly the point of him. But he was by no means annoying, obnoxious. He was cute. He was funny.
Oh, he was,
by
far.
He had development. They developed the droid, man. Literally, like, you felt like you cared about that character. Whereas, not saying that in, you know, the originals I didn't care about R2 or C-3PO, but I actually really, really cared about BB-8. I was, like, worried when things were going on, like, hey, I want to make sure BB-8 makes it, and, you know, nothing happens to him, even though I know that it wouldn't, but there's that sense of, you know, suspense there, especially for that character. So, so well done.
And hates.
They can put Gypsy Danger right in the next Godzilla movie, and then it'll open with the giant robot stepping up out of the ocean and standing there, like, all proud, and then all of a sudden, this big blue blast of atomic energy shoots through its chest and the whole fucking thing just explodes and then melts into the sea and Godzilla roars and everything.
It's a perfect idea.
And then he stomps over the wreckage of the robot, and then we never have to see or hear about the stupid, what were they called? What were they called in the movie? I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
The robots, what were they called? I forget.
Come on, really? Neither of us remember?
No. You know, that's just how not memorable Pacific Rim was. It was such a disappointment that we can't even...
Jaegers, right?
Jaegers, that's... Okay. Yeah, you're right.
The only reason why it finally hit me, I was like thinking, they reminded me of liquor.
Because you're doing a Jaeger bomb right now, that's what it is.
Yeah. Jaeger bombs, protein. Yeah, man.
To catch the Epic Film Guys on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or your favorite podcasting app. And we'll see you at the movies.
I'll make that clear as well.
Did we lose him?
He just straight up vanished out of the call. What the hell? There he is.
Oh, he's coming.
Holy
back.
Cat.
He just wholesale vanished. Like, that wasn't
was
even like,
why am I
he didn't
full
even
screen?
Cut out or anything.
I didn't? No. Are you serious? That was weird. Okay, I'm still recording. Awesome.
Wow.
So,
man,
I'll go back to where I was. But so I want to ask you guys three questions, because this is
ooh,
the enigma of Tommy Wiseau. So number one, where do you think he got his money? Number two, how old do you think he is? And number three, where do you think he's from? Nick, I think I know where he got his money, but I'll throw it to you first.
Money? It was real estate, wasn't it?
Where do you think he got his money?
Yeah, it was real estate, wasn't it?
Well... That's that's what Sestero says in his book. Tommy will say that he got it
selling leather jackets.
Selling leather jackets
from Korea. From Korea.
Yeah, because he had a clothing store. It's what he was doing in San Francisco before he became involved, you know, in the filmmaking world. But He still continues that to his day. He sells leather jackets on his website. He sells underwear, which I have a pair of Tommy Wiseau underwear.
Give me the website right now. As we're on the air, I'm buying a new leather jacket. What's the website?
I honestly don't have the web address on me, but I'm sure you could look up Tommy Wiseau's store or The Room Movie Store. But yeah, he makes buttloads on merchandise for this movie, for sure.
Just to be fair, I actually clicked the wrong link. And it says that Tommy Wiseau's net worth is only $500,000.
Hmm. Well, I don't know about that.
It's more than mine. It's more than mine. Okay.
Well, yeah, so but the man is obviously a millionaire. He put $6 million of his own money into this movie.
What
so
a story,
obviously
Mark.
He. So, the other two questions: how old do you think he is, and where do you think he's from?
Oh, Jesus Christ! It's so tough to pinpoint his age because, like, I would say nowadays he's got to be in his 60s.
I'd say late 50s.
Gotcha. Well, in The Disaster Artist, there's a great moment where Tommy is meeting Greg's mom, and she asks him how old he is, and he says, same age as Greg. And she's like, you're 19? It's like, yeah. And she's like, really? I just turned 14. Oh, happy birthday.
You guys, seriously, I'm looking at his page right now, and I'm buying, like, two of these jackets.
You must
like,
be keen, aren't you?
And Nick's going to get a nice new jacket that's going to say on the back, you're tearing me apart, Lisa.
Anyway, how's your sex life?
There's a track jacket that's only $16 that has it on the fucking back, dude.
Jesus Christ.
On his page.
There's more stuff we got to unpack about this film. Stop shopping for Christmas, you fuck.
Pee-pees, pussies, buttholes, nostrils, and mouths. You can stick something up there.
I think they showed that one on the ape version of Skinamax one night.
I miss Skinamax. I also miss... I really miss Skinamax. 12-year-old kid, you know? Around the age of your son. And I'd sneak downstairs. My parents wouldn't hear me. The stairs would creak. And I'd walk downstairs. And I would have no sound. Maybe, like, it'd be on volume, like, 3 out of 50. And I would sit there and watch softcore Skinamax porn. This is an outtake situation. Please don't play this on the regular podcast.
That's why I wanted to leave a nice long lead out from that so I can make sure that this makes it into the regular show. And then I'll repeat it 3 times in the outtakes. I'll put like a little reverb effect on it so it's like Skinamax, axe, or something. I don't know.
Please don't do it.
Is Justin back? Jesus Christ! That no, Loisos, go hit him.
He's all the way over there.
All right.
I'm over here. I'm over here.
Filipino fur burger. Filipino fur burger. Bearded taco. Ass wipe. Nipple nose. Fuck face. Dickhead.
Tick tock. Cut the audio clip in. Cut this out. La la la.
Suck my cock.
God damn it.
I'm sorry. Give me a second here.
Nope.
And young up and comer Lucas Hedges as Patrick Taylor, the son.
I should have muted my microphone. You threw me off the fucking rails there and started laughing.
It's all right. I'll start over.
I'm going to mute. Okay.
It's a good thing you didn't mention that, like a Flint rodeo.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't. I would assume something with dirty water.
Nope. A Flint rodeo is when you're going at a woman from behind while your buddy's in the closet with a camcorder. You lean over, whisper into her ear, and say, you're the ugliest bitch I fucked all week. And then your buddy runs out and counts how long it takes her to kick you off. Flint rodeo. We all learned something tonight, folks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord. Otherwise known as a night at Tommy's house.
Well, there was a...
God bless him.
For a while, Jake worked at a deli, and they served donuts. And this was at the time when those weird phrases started to really be popular. And there was one phrase called a Bismarck, which is where you basically finish on a lady... No, first you punch her in... I'm going to apologize to Ashley about this right away. You punch her in the face, and then when she starts to bleed, you finish on her face, and it's called a Bismarck. Well, Jake was working at the deli, and a little old man asked him, "Hey, Sonny, can you give me a Bismarck?" And Jake's just looking at him like, "What? A Bismarck?
Oh my god!
I want you to give me a Bismarck."
Oh
what?
Oh my god!
And finally, the guy has to point at the donut, that right there. Give me a Bismarck. And finally, Jake snaps out of it. He's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah."
Oh my god!
Oh, Jake.
I'm never gonna hear Jake's voice the same again.
Just, and I could just hit you.
He'll intro the show. Hi, I'm Jake, and that's Tom. And I didn't know what a Bismarck was. And I'm like,
no.
God.
The problem was that he knew what a Bismarck was, but I could just picture him kind of tilting his head at like a 45 degree angle, like a dog who's confused, trying to put the pieces together.
Like, sir, I'm in public right now.
Sir, are you aware of the Urban Dictionary definition of that?
Yeah. I have the power.
I sucked a dick last night.
Well, why would you say a thing
That's
like that?
That's not what I'm trying to say. That's not what I even said.
I'm pretty sure
that.
I saw your lips move when that happened. I swear I saw that.
I didn't say that.
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row? I played this city
like a harp from hell. Wait,
how the hell did we just go into that at the same time? How the hell did he go into that at the same time? Seriously.
I was too busy playing my Clerk sound drop, but then I fully intended to get back to it.
And like to fill her void. Show him my French flipper trick.
French flipper trick.
Stop global warming. Start global cooling. Turn the world into a giant ice box. You drive a hard bar, Maxi.
It's coming at last.
Okay.
Oh,
I'll be
God.
Mayor.
You're driving this segment, so why don't you go ahead and lead us in.
Okay.
Hooray.
All right, we're going to go live in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.